Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I am thrilled with the opportunity today to be able to talk about God's Word with you and to share God's Word with you and to study God's Word with you. So I would love if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would grab those at home, grab your Bibles as well with us. If you don't have your Bibles with you but you have the app on your phone, you can pull that out as well. Find the app and let's be in God's Word together both as we read and as we study. And very important this morning, we're going to be in two different passages. But we're going to be flipping back and forth between the passages, back and forth quite a bit. And so I'm warning you ahead of time, a lot of back and forth. So have both of these spots marked. But they're in very opposite ends of the Bible. So start with me in Hebrews, which is a book that's quite a ways near the end of the Bible, deep into the New Testament. You go past Thessalonians and the Timothys and Titus and the tiny little book Philemon. Then you're going to hit this bigger book called Hebrews. And we're going to be in Hebrews 11, verse 4. So find that spot this morning. And then flip with me all the way to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis, the fourth chapter. So just four chapters in, Genesis 4. We're going to be looking at verse 1 and following. So have those bookmarked or your fingers in there so we can go back and forth as we study God's Word today. As we begin, let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. So let's pray. Lord, it's not lost on us this morning, the incredible gift that it is to pause and to study your word. And so we do not enter these moments lightly. But we come asking, seeking that the Holy Spirit, that you will lead and guide us in this time. We want to learn, we want to grow, we want to hear what the Lord, what you, Lord, have for us today. And so lead and guide during this time. Whatever words need to be spoken, let they be spoken. And whatever things we specifically need to hear, God, we know that you are the kind of God that can meet us exactly where we're at, that we can say one thing and for it can mean one thing to each and every one of us and speak into our own situation. So, Lord, this is a sacred time. This is a holy time. We lift it to you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit. We thank you for studying Scripture together in community. And so bless this time, we ask, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week here at Westview, we began a summer sermon series where we are walking through the hallowed hallways of Hebrews 11, which is often described as the Bible's Hall of Faith. And we compared it a little bit last week to Cooperstown, which is the National Baseball Hall of Fame, where they have some of the greatest players to ever play the game of baseball are commemorated and honored. And they're in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Those who are inducted, they're inducted because of the how many hits they had, and home runs, and wins, and strikeouts. And but here in the Baseball Hall of Faith, where it honors some of the great heroes of the faith, we talked about how the criteria for induction is faith itself. And we spent a long time, all of last week, seeking to understand what is faith and why is faith important. And we primarily focused on that first verse of Hebrews 11 where it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." We looked at a couple other verses as well, verse 3 and another passage last week. But then we ended on verse 2. And if you remember with me, we looked at verse 2 and had a very literal translation of those Greek words, where verse 2 says that this faith of verse 1, this is the witness of the ancients. Friends, this summer we are blessed by the witness of the ancients, the stories and the testimonies, the examples of those who have gone before and who have exemplified a life of faith for us. And as we learn from their stories, as we learn about their lives of faith, we trust that throughout the summer we can consider how that faith can be an example and a witness and an encouragement to us in our own lives of faith. The other thing that we mentioned was that not only are we going to study the heroes of the faith here in Hebrews 11, but we're also going to have a contemporary witness as well. So that each week we're going to invite one of our friends here at Westview to come and just share with us a modern-day example of someone who they would maybe induct in their own personal hall of faith. And we'll have that again later at the end of the message today. But as we look here in Hebrews 11, we find the first inductee into the Hall of Faith. And his name is Abel. And his name is revealing because the name Abel means vapor or mist or even breath. And we know that his time was short. In fact, there's not a lot of verses that tell his story. And yet what I think we're going to find today is that even though he has a short time, that mist, the display of his faith still speaks to us today. So here's the testimony offered by the writer of Hebrews. Check out Hebrews 11, verse 4 with me this morning. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now, further insight into the life of Abel. Jump with me now to our Genesis 4 passage. Genesis 4, starting in verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And then the story goes on from there. I'm going to be honest. I don't know exactly what it is this morning. But maybe it's because I've been sitting in these denominational meetings for 3+ days, and I know that I've got a couple more days to go. Maybe it's some other sort of reason this morning. But I'm feeling a little. Can I use the word ornery a little bit? I'm feeling a little feisty this morning, and I want to try something with you today. Okay, so I don't know if this is going to work. I think it's going to work, but I don't know if it's going to be confusing. I don't know if you're going to like it. You might not even agree with it, or not even be happy about it. But I think it's going to work this morning. But most of all, I think that it's going to help us have an even more faithful interpretation of these texts, because I read these passages, and you just read them along with me. And it appears to be a straightforward, open and shut case as to why Abel is included in the Hall of Faith. And I get it, right? It seems so simple, yes? Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. I mean, it says those exact words, does it not? And so we get the sense that Abel gave the best of what he had to God. That Abel gave sacrificially, that his offering is superior to Cain's, and then Abel becomes this innocent victim. And so I think it's going to be very tempting for us today to take a look at these passages and get the sense of this witness of Abel, and we're going to say, well, the faith lesson today is very crystal clear. Give your best to God. Give sacrificially. Give the finest of what you have to the Lord. And if that's the case, I'm fine with that, because I'm going to maybe even twist that into a stewardship sermon. And then we'll all go home happy, yes? So give your best to God. Watch out for angry older brothers. Case closed. The witness complete. Thank you, Abel. Yes? We could leave it there. Abel's witness of faith is one who gives well. But I wonder if there's more. In fact, I wonder if there's much more that the writer of Hebrews wants us to take away from the faith witness of Abel. Like I said, maybe it's the meetings, long meetings, tiring meetings. Chairs are not comfortable at all. Maybe it's just I'm just feeling feisty today, but I kind of want to ask you a dumb question. Can I do that? Question is this. Is the giving of a better sacrifice why Abel is in the Hall of Faith? In fact, let me ask you even a dumber question than that. Was Abel's sacrifice better than Cain's? I told you, kind of a dumb question, yes? Because it literally says in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. But go with me to Genesis 4. If you're not there, turn with me to Genesis 4, where we read this story of Cain and Abel. And I want to ask, is there any indication that Abel's offering was better than Cain's? If you're in Genesis 4, focus on verses 3 and 4 with me. But when we focus on verses 3 and 4, leave out the word but. The first word in verse 4 is the word but. That's a conjunction, right? Conjunction, but, and, yet, however, or, I think, if I know my English a little bit. That's a Hebrew conjunction, and the Hebrew conjunction there can be translated as but, or it can be translated as and. It's a translator's choice to put the word but in there, and if we put the word and in there instead, it dramatically changes the relationship between those two verses. And so look at verses 3 and look at verses 4 with me, and look at how Cain's offering is described in nearly identical terms to Abel's. So verse 3 we would read, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The most noticeable difference between those is that Cain works the soil and Abel tends to flocks. Right? They both give from their respective livelihoods, and it says that they both give some. I mean, is there any indication there that one is superior than the other? Some want to say, well, Abel's offering was better than Cain's because it was a blood offering, right? There's the shedding of blood, and the law says that kind of offering pleases God. Well, the law does say that. But remember, we're in Genesis 4. The law is still a long time coming yet. And in fact, the word there for offering is not the word for a guilt offering or a sin offering, the kind of offering that is seeking to make us as people right with God. It's just the simple, plain old offering. And then if you want, you can flip back to Hebrews 11. Let's check this out. And let's hit the verse head on. There's the word better there in Hebrews 11, verse 4. The word there for better in the Greek, that Greek word is more commonly, and maybe some would argue more appropriately, faithfully translated as acceptable. So was the offering better? Or was the offering acceptable or even more acceptable? And then acceptable based on what? So let me just pause right here. Are you convinced yet? Have we done enough to convince us? What was Abel's sacrifice actually better than Cain's? And is that why he's in the Hall of Faith? Because he gave sacrificially, because he offered something better. What do you think? Can I tell you what I think? No, I can't. Oh, I can. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to anyway. I think Abel did give a better sacrifice. I think his offering was more acceptable. But I don't think that his better sacrifice had anything to do with what he actually gave. And I don't think that giving a better offering is even close to the full faith lesson that we are to take away this morning. And I don't think that Abel's offering is the reason why he's inducted into the Bible's Hall of Faith. Jump back with me to Genesis 4. Take a very close look with me at verse 4. Middle of verse 4 says this, "The Lord looked with favor." Now look at what it says here. "The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offerings, he did not look with favor." I mean, what do you notice there? The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Not just the offering that Abel gave, but the Lord looks with favor on Abel himself. And the same is actually true about Cain, and only in the opposite direction. No, it's not in favor. This is a very small thing, but I think it's an important thing. Because the writer of Genesis could have very simply said, "The Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering." And that's a perfectly acceptable sentence. And then the focus then goes towards the offering itself. But the emphasis here is that the favor isn't on the offering itself. The favor is also on Abel himself. Now jump back to Hebrews 11 with me. I told you, we're going back and forth a lot this morning. Hebrews 11. Look at verse 4 with me again. I need us to notice something here. I just want to ask you the question. What is the focal point of this verse? What's the focal point of verse 4? And I'll give you a hint. It's not something that's just mentioned once. That's the offering. And it's not something that's mentioned twice. That's about who's speaking. It's something that's mentioned three times. What's the focal point? Not a trick question. Yes. Say it again. Faith. Faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Three times over in this one verse, the faith of Abel is highlighted. Friends, here's the point. Is it Abel's offering that gets him into the Hall of Faith? Whether it is better or more acceptable than Cain's, whether it pre-fills some sort of law or because it's the fat of the firstborns? No. Abel is in the Hall of Faith because of his faith. Because before this offering is even a blip on the radar, there's something brewing inside of Abel. There's something already about him. He's got faith, and it's his faith that leads God to commend him as a righteous man. And it's his faith that leads him as a righteous man to offer a good, a well-pleasing, and probably even better sacrifice. See, this is a witness about Abel's faith. Faith that is on display through his offering. Maybe I'll put it like this. Maybe this will be helpful. Abel is not faithful because of his offering. Rather, the faithfulness of Abel is expressed through his offering. Abel's offering is a demonstration of his faith. And that distinction about who Abel is, there is no question that that is what sets him apart from Cain. I mean, we can spend all morning and have a little fun arguing about, is it a better sacrifice or not? Is Abel's offering a better one than Cain's? But there is no doubt that there is a difference of character between Abel and between Cain. So now jump back with me to chapter 4 or Genesis 4. Give your Bibles open, look at Genesis 4 with me, because if you look in Genesis 4, there is not a lot written about Abel, is there? I mean, even from the get-go, right? Cain is born, and Eve talks, and the Lord help me, and then there's one little phrase, and then she also gave birth to Abel. And as it goes on, there's not a whole lot written about Abel, but there's much more written about Cain. It's not pretty, is it? After the Lord does not look with favor on Cain and his offering, it says that Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. And we might begin to wonder, well, maybe that's because the Lord is not looking with favor on him. But it doesn't appear to be that way. Look at verse 7 with me. The Lord speaks to Cain. And as the Lord speaks to Cain, we get a hint of his internal character. He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Right? Cain has this opportunity to do what is right. And God says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But the Lord goes on, he says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Just like there's something going on with Abel in his life of faith, there's also something happening here with Cain and his life or the lack thereof of faith. There's a spiritual battle being waged in his heart, and he's choosing not to do what is right, and sin is crouching here. Sin is hunched down, ready to pounce, ready for the right opportunity to spring forth and master Cain. And ever so sadly, if we read the next verse again, we find that sin does master his heart, and he leads his brother out into the field, and he kills and takes his brother's life. The Lord names that sin is ever crouching in the shadows of Cain's life. Abel, on the other hand, is described three times over in Hebrews 11 as a person of faith. The story of Cain and Abel. Abel's inclusion into the hall of faith has nothing to do with the sacrifices offered, but it has everything to do with the person, with who they are. And that's the witness of Abel this morning. A life of faith that is revealing itself through an offering. A life of faith that is on display. Abel did give the fat portions. Abel did give the firstborn. Abel did offer something that was deemed more acceptable, but not because it was a better sacrifice, but because it was an outpouring of who Abel was. And in that offering, his faith is on display. Westview, I believe that the faith lesson for us this morning is so much more than just give a good gift and give sacrificially. Isn't that what Abel's faith witnesses to us today? Someone once wrote this. We'll put this on the screen for us. The superior quality of Abel's offering derived from the integrity of his heart rather than the nature of the offering itself. I think that about sums it up, doesn't it? And that witness is what still speaks to us today. I love that last line in Hebrews 11, verse 4, where it says that Abel still speaks to us today, even though he's dead, he still speaks. Abel's faith speaks to us through that offering he was made. And friends, let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. The same is going to be true for us. Whether it's in 20 years or 50 years or 100 years from now, will we be remembered for the offerings that we gave or for the integrity of our life from which those offerings came? Will we be remembered for the gift of money that we tithed or from the life of righteousness that we pursued? Will we be remembered for the sacrifices that we offered or for the nature of our character? Will we be remembered for the gifts given or for our imitation of the love, grace, and truth of Jesus Christ? What will we be remembered for? What about our lives will speak to those who come after us far beyond our days? I want to close this morning with these words from James Moffat. These will appear on the screen. Let me read them for you. Death is never the last word in the life of a righteous person. When a person leaves this world, they leave something in it. They may leave something which will grow and spread like a canker, or they may leave something fine which blossoms and flourishes without end. They leave an influence of good or ill. Everyone, when they die, still speaks. May God grant us to leave behind not a germ or evil, but a lovely thing in which the lives of those who come afterward will find blessing. That's the faith witness of Abel. Friends, may it be our faith witness as well. Amen. We've had an opportunity now this morning to hear the witness of the ancients, and I am pleased and delighted to invite Grace Stark to come on up. She's going to share with us someone who would be, she's name is in her own hall of faith. So Grace, thank you for coming and sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As Josh said, my name is Grace. And when Josh emailed me to share someone in my hall of faith, I immediately thought of my youth director from high school and from my hometown in Texas, Janice Crane. So when I first met Janice, it was when I first started going to church. I was in the sixth grade, and she actually wasn't our youth director at the time. She was just a volunteer at the church who went on this trip with us. And something that kind of feeds into my first reason for mentioning Janice today is at this time, Janice was feeling a call in her heart to join the church more and become more involved. And so if you know me, I am not very big on change, and so this is part of why it really affected me, is I had the opportunity to watch Janice, with the support of her friends and family, leave the career that she had known, the career she'd gone to school for and focused on for so long, to listen to this call from God to lead our youth and come join our youth and lead us on all these crazy trips that she would go on to do. And my next reason for talking about Janice and my Hall of Faith is I wanted to share her unwavering commitment to service. So we went on lots of trips, as most youth groups do. She led international trips. She led them across the country. But the thing that impacted me the most was Janice saw a gap in what our youth group was doing for service and really focused on what it was like to show us that we can give locally. I loved that Janice would go out of her way to show us that you don't have to always do something huge to show God's love. You can do it locally. We learned about just going to mow people's grass and things like that for those who are close to us and in our community. And the third and final reason that I wanted to share Janice today is beyond the many, many reasons that I could talk about her forever. It's just that Janice shared what it was like to be imperfect. She brought this vulnerability that I had never seen before shown to me. She was willing to talk about ways that she maybe hadn't always been the best version of herself or the version that she wanted to show other people. But she reminded me that that doesn't mean you can't go to church. It doesn't mean you can't show people your love and your service. And so that was one of the biggest and probably the thing that will impact me the longest is no matter where you are, church will always be a home for you and that God will always love you. And so that meant a lot to me. So ultimately, Janice is in my hall of faith because of her unwavering faith, her love and devotion to others, and her openness.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace, for sharing with us. Would you please pray with me? Lord, we come before you and praise you for the great cloud of witnesses of those who have come before us and demonstrated their faith, not just through what they've done, but who they are. And we recognize that those people are not who they are because they are some super Christians or just amazing by themselves, but because your Holy Spirit has worked in and through their lives. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we have a narrow vision, that we listen to the voice in our head that says that we don't matter, that our faith doesn't matter, that the way we are is not noticed by anyone. But the truth is, God, you chose to show your love to the world through us. And we don't do that by ourselves or by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. We do that by the power of the Holy Spirit that instills faith in us. And we do that because your Son, Jesus Christ, was the perfect sacrifice for us. Our faith is imperfect, but his was perfect. And we stand covered by his perfect sacrifice and by his blood shed for us. So thank you, Lord, that our faith is not in ourselves, but in you. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you take care of us. We thank you for the ways that you provide for us and the ways that you heal us. Thank you for Angie's successful surgery this past week. Thank you for all of the ways that you have been preparing the hearts of every child that will hear the good news of the gospel this week. And I ask that you would be so clear, that your Holy Spirit would speak to every child's heart this week at VBS, that they would know your love and know how great you are. Give volunteers energy and enthusiasm. And more than being a perfect volunteer, Lord, would you help each of them to inhabit faith in a way that reflects your goodness and your glory. God, increase our faith. Increase our dependence on you, that we would not try and do things on our own, but we would recognize that we are entirely desperate and dependent on you. Thank you, Jesus. We are excited and ask for your Spirit to move in us and through us as we each day move closer and closer to the day that you return and finish building your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.